Rush in life seems to come pressing in against God's idea of rest. And it's a continual battle for your time, for your energy, for your devotion. And the way I see it, our world values busier, faster, harder. And God values rest. We values work as well, but there needs to be a balance in it. And so for the next few weeks, I want to talk about this, because if you're not careful, as you live life apart from the rest, if you live life in the hurried, rushed place, you end up being lean in the spirit. You end up being thin in your patience, and you end up being sharp with your tongue. It just pushes over on you and it influences us. And so we're going to be looking at this in the next 5 weeks. Here's some of the messages that I'm hoping that we'll be covering. Today we're looking at who are you looking to? Just choosing rest over weariness. And then, Lord willing, next week, what are you striving for? Rethink your value system. Why are you living like a slave? Discovering how to live like a son. And then, where did your Sabbath rest go? And then that question I'm continually asking myself as well, when will you slow down? So, you know, as I was working on this during the sabbatical, I kind of came back and said, boy, I really want to talk about rest. I just can't wait to talk about rest. I thought, no, James, what you need to do is practice it. You know, you need to practice it in the real world, not the sabbatical world, you know. And so that's where I've been for the last year, and said, okay, now I want to share some of the things that God's continuing to teach me, and hopefully be able to draw all of us into a place of peace, a place of calmness that I think He would want us to have. And it's not always easy. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's going to be the key theme through the 5 week series. And I really think it's a great thing is if you're wrestling with any issue, is find a key promise and then hang on to that. Find that problem, hang on to that, think about that, pray about that, apply that, chew that up, and it begins to work into your life. And so I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11 today. Because in our culture, there's a tendency to be busy for a reason. I mean, of course, you'll say, well, I'm busy because I'm trying to provide for my family, or I'm busy because I'm trying to keep her happy or him happy, you know? And I look at it, and I realized this when it came time to take sabbatical, is like, how do you do this? I have no idea how to stop, you know? And in fact, when I was off on a workshop for this whole thing, one of the things they talked about is like jumping off a bus that's going 70 miles an hour down the road. You know, you realize you're just... And yet, the question is what's pressing on you? Who are you looking to that makes you a driven person? What is it that presses into you that makes you act different than the way you perhaps would like to act? So that's what we're talking about here today. Who are you looking to? Because when I look to me, I've got this standard and that standard, and if I listen to the church, you know, there's 200 different voices with different opinions and different ideas about what I ought to be doing with my time. And what does Jesus say to us? So look at it here. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest comes through relationship, not rules. Rest comes through a relationship with Christ, not rules about your performance. You can try and tell yourself, hey, I'm going to do this and this, and this is how I'm going to rest. But if something else inside of you keeps pushing, you'll just keep breaking your own rules. Can anybody say, I know what that's about? You'll say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this much time off, or I'm going to be sure and spend this much time with my family. And, you know, some of you remember Cat Stevens and the song, The Cat's in the Cradle. You know, that whole thing. All of a sudden you turn around, they're grown up. You know, you're watching your grandchildren say what you heard your children say, and you go, where did they go? Jesus says, come to me. The most incredible thing I can tell you that just encourages me every time I see it, and I saw it here again this week, is this. Jesus wants a relationship with you. When I look into that word and see Jesus wants a relationship with me, I don't know, there's days when I wake up where I don't want a relationship with me. You know, you're just like, ugh, God, zooks. And you get frustrated with yourself, and yet Jesus says, come to me. And you know, sometimes we look at that and there's a tendency to, yeah, but you know who he wants. Who came to him? Who felt comfortable coming to Jesus? Well, the rich young ruler felt comfortable coming to Jesus. But so did the prostitute. The tax collectors felt comfortable having lunch with Jesus. Jesus is approachable, friend. I don't know what it is in your life that you're looking at saying, well, I can't do this, but Jesus says, come to me. Why? Because rest is received in relationship. It's something that you have to take what's being offered. When we begin to think about this, I think it can change your perspective. Because I think oftentimes the idea is that I get to rest when I get my work done. Right? Question. When's that? So we set ourselves up with a pattern that'll never give you any rest. But if we recognize there is a rest in relationship with Christ that's different. And rest is discovered in relationship with Christ who gives us rest. So I would just say this, seek the Savior. That's what he says. He says, come to me. This is not the idea of taking a break. This is the idea of living a lifestyle where the idea of not being driven but being directed by God begins to be your focus. I think of that blind man who was alongside the road, been begging his whole life. You know, here's this crowd coming by and says, hey, who is it? I mean, can you imagine every time you heard something, you'd have to ask somebody else what it was? What kind of world would that be? You know, living in darkness. And he just hears this crowd coming by. He says, who is it? They say, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet, you know, the miracle worker. And I love it. Bartimaeus just says, Son of David, have mercy on me. He can't get up and run through a crowd. That is not possible to do as a blind man, okay? No white stick back then, I'm guessing. You know, he just starts shouting at the top of his lungs. Do I know he was shouting at the top of his lungs? Yeah, because people were telling him what? Be quiet. Don't be disturbing Jesus. He's going somewhere. He's got something to do. And a lot of you feel like that. You can't disturb Jesus. He's got something to do. He's got bigger, better, more important things to do. And this man just says, Jesus! Son of David! And what's he saying? When he says son of David, you know, that's such an awesome identity thing. He knows who Jesus is. He knows he is the descendant. He knows he is the Messiah. He knows he is the one who can do something. He says what? Have mercy on me! And Jesus stops and says, bring him to me. And they say, get up. He's calling for you. Friends, that's an amazing thing to think about, is that He wants you to be reached. He wants you to know Him. And He says, come to me. He says, I want you to call on me. Which means what? He's calling for you. Do you hear Christ calling? It's not something that we always recognize. But friends, if Jesus was calling you, wouldn't you answer? Wouldn't you pick up? He says, come to me. Friends, Jesus desires to give you relief. He's calling. And just because He calls doesn't mean you pay any attention to it, does it? There's times as you go through life and there's sounds coming out, but you don't listen to it. You all know how to tune it out, don't you? Is that right? Are you guys hearing anything? Miss the call. You know, that's the way we live our life in a rush. Is He was inviting you to have time with Him this morning, and you're just, I'm off to church. I got to get there because He's going to be... Take time. He wants to have a relationship, and He is willing to keep calling. He is willing to seek you. If you will seek Him, if you will, He'll call back. Isn't that good? I like that. Yeah. Good morning. Are you talking to the Lord every day? If you're too busy to have time for God, you're too busy. He says, come to me. I want to encourage you, friends. Who does He invite to come? Did you see this here? All. We need to stop right there. But that's not all there is. He says, all who are weary and heavy laden. He says, I want those who are weary and heavy laden. So, if you've got it together, if life is just fine for you, if you're competent and functional and you don't need Him, you're not invited. He says, all who are weary, come to me. Jesus wants a relationship with you, but he's trying to point out a couple things. And one, the weary, all who are toiling, some of you may have in there. The picture there is a person who's struggling. It's an active thing. They're going forward. They're trying to do something with their life. And there's this battle going on with sin. They're being weighed down by that. And then he says, and they're heavy laden. There's a pack on your back and you're just pressed. You can't see how to deal with it. And as it pushes in on you, friends, Jesus offers rest. But know this, that rest is a choice of humility. It's a choice of humility. Now what do I mean? Because it comes to those who are what? Weary and heavy laden. But we don't want to admit that we're weary and heavy laden. We've got it together, isn't that right? But rest is offered to those who are weary and burdened. So I have to be able to admit that. And so the question I ask you is, how tired are you? Are you tired of carrying that pack in this life? I mean, think about it. You have a need, and Jesus wants to meet it. You have something going on, and Jesus wants to touch your life in a new way. And he wants to lighten your load. Somebody needs a lightened load here. Hey, brother, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine.
Really? You're not looking so fine.
Oh, no, no, I'm fine. Frantic, insecure, neurotic, and emotionally unstable. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Hey, can we lighten your load there?
Oh, man. It's okay. No, really. I'm fine.
Really? Why don't we take this off of you? I think this...
All right. You just...
What are you carrying?
Oh, well, you know, I got, you know... It's an Italian backpack. I got some of this and some of that and some of this and, you know, I forget what I got in here.
Well, you know, looks, seems like you got a coat called guilt that you've been wearing. You've been wearing a coat called guilt?
Yep.
Hanging on to that stuff from your past?
Just a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. not that much, you know.
Who? What's that?
Cool.
You know, you're supposed to confess your sins. He's died for all that stuff. Don't be hanging on to that stuff.
That's rank.
You got another pair of boots in here? Is that
well,
what's you, that to look like competent, huh? You're just really trying to. You can
try
you
to,
can do it.
You know, keep it together. You know, I gotta get them on. You know.
You know, there's more stuff than we've got time to go through here today.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's just accumulated over the years, and it just keeps piling on and piling
shame?
On. Oh.
Why would you carry shame around? Yeah. Didn't Jesus die for all your sins?
Put that back. You know, I just... No shame.
Why don't we just leave that up here as a little reminder? Why don't you go rest?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. How many times when the person God has sent to lighten your load with the love of Christ asks you, how are you doing? Do you just say, fine? God sends people into our lives to be Christ, to reflect Christ's love into your life. That's one of the reasons we put people together in small groups, is that you can bear one another's burdens. Who is it? That's Christ bearing that up. He says, you come to me if you're weary and heavy laden. You know what? This is something I've been discovering over this last year. You won't rest unless you're honest with you. Because you can tell everybody else whatever you want. But you look at yourself in the mirror and you got to be honest with you about where you stand. You got to be honest with you about how you're dealing with your issues. Because I have certainly found I can deceive myself. The book says so, doesn't it? It says be careful. Do not deceive yourself. If it says do not, it means there's a tendency for us to do that. Over in Psalms 38, verse 4, I found this the other day reading. It says, it's just a real simple thought. My iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. Yeah, they do. And that's why he says, confess your sins. He even says that in the small group, confess your sins one to another, he says in James 5:16. Now why would you share your burden with somebody else? Because somebody else can carry you through that. Somebody else can show you that acceptance and that encouragement. But what are you trying to do? We just pedal harder. Isn't that right? Just keep pedaling. If you want to prove how competent you are to Christ, He will let you try. You know what I mean? He will let you try. He'll just let you until you get so tired that you say, little help, please. And sometimes when you ask for a little help, He'll still let you wait. Until you come to that place where you say, I'm busted. I can't do this. I talk to people all the time. When we talk about this issue, what they want to tell me is... and. I don't mean wrong by this, but people will say, oh, Jesus will never give you more than you can handle. I disagree. From my experience in life and from what I've read in the book, Jesus will always give you more than you can handle. But never more than you and He can handle. Are you tired? God's not. God's not. Turn it over to Him. Sometimes people say, well, James, it's just such a little thing. Okay. What do you have that really is big to God anyway? You see, I can't turn this over. It's just a little thing. You got anything in your life that God's going, wow, I don't know if I can lift that. All our life is little. But it matters to Him. He said, cast your care on Him. Why? Because He cares. Who said that? Peter. You remember Peter? I will never deny you. Everybody else? Oh, they're going down. But I'm never going to deny you. Pride goes before what? Boom. On His face. Friends, humility is essential to experience rest because you have to admit you're tired. Here's the question to ask. Do I need Jesus now? You know, the logical theology there, do you need me to explain this? Is yes, I do. But sometimes we live as though I don't. I can skip my quiet time. I can skip my prayer life. You know, I have found you can rush just about anything. You can rush your time with the Lord. You can rush your prayer life. You can try and rush your romance. You can try and rush anything. But that doesn't mean it makes it right. It doesn't mean it makes it better. James says, draw near to God. And what? He will draw near to you. Jesus says here, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Down at the bottom it says, I will give you rest for your souls. I'll give you a rest that's on the inside, not just a sitting that's on the outside. Friends, rest is a gift that is received. He says, I will give you. What we want to do is earn our rest. What we want to do is somehow, I got it all done, so now I can sit down. And what I've had to discover is that it's never all going to get done. You know, I just kind of hold the plate up sometimes and just kind of watch stuff fall off it, you know. Sometimes it's not the best selective method of priority in your life, but it's like, hey, what fits and what doesn't fit? I can't get it all done. Can you say that to yourself? I can't get it all done? Here's the question. Does He really want you to do all that? Does your child need to be in band and in sports and in Taekwondo and in... Hey, be careful, friends. This culture says busy is better. Be careful. You'll be so busy, you won't have time to be. Some of you have to stop for a couple days just to let your soul catch up with your body. He says, I will give you rest. Rest is a gift to be received. It's a gift that God gives to those who what? Who draw near. That's what He says. If come to me. He doesn't say, I'm just going to give you rest. I'll just give rest to anybody. No, He says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you come with your weariness, if you come with your heavy ladenness, He says, I will meet you there. I will give you. Not, I might. Not I could. You know that He could. What He says is I will. Why do I tell you that? Because this guy has found. There's times I haven't received what He's promised. And what do you want to do? You want to blame Him. How come you're doing this to me? You know, Moses kind of wrestled with that. These people of yours... You know, we've been doing the shame, blame thing all the way from the beginning. You know, Adam started it. He did it pretty good. The woman that you gave me did this to me. We can push it off on everybody else. We need to come to that spot where you say, He said He will. If I don't have rest, then I'm not in Him in the way I need to be. Choose to pursue Christ. come. Faith in Jesus frees us. It frees you from guilt, if you let it. It frees you from shame. He bore all your sins in His body on the tree. It can free you from fear. I will never leave you or forsake you. What is the burden that's in your backpack that's pressing down on your soul? Some of you have been carrying this thing for decades. It's time to put it down. And receive what the Savior has to offer. John 1:12 is a verse. I want you just to say it with me. Will we do that together? But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. We want to find a place of rest. What I'm offering you today is a person of rest. It's different. There's a pattern that you walk out with Him. And at times that rest may be in an ER of a hospital. At times that rest may be in a funeral home. At times that rest may be in the middle of a 10, 12, 14 hour day. I have found it does not matter where I am. It matters who I'm with. That's where rest comes from. It comes from a person. Now, I do understand there are places like the beach that are more restful than other places. But we are talking about a physical thing. But friends, you can find rest if you find Him wherever you are. And He's always with you, right? The question is, what? Am I with Him? You see, you're starting up school this next week, some of you students. He will be with you. The question is, are you going to be with Him? Some of you parents have had that experience, haven't you? You're with your kids, and all of a sudden you come into a setting where there's some of their friends around there, and all of a sudden you notice that it doesn't appear that your children know you. You're with them. They're not really with you. Don't be trying none of that hug, kiss stuff right here, Mom. That's not happening. We don't want to be. Sometimes we don't want to identify with what? The dependency that we have on Christ. That's called humility, remember? That's back to that spot of saying, I need Him. Friends, faith in Christ is what lets me rest. Because otherwise, I got to keep working to somehow impress Him. I got to keep working to somehow please Him. I got to keep working to somehow get it done. And we'll talk more about that next week. We're going to talk about striving. But look what Jesus says here in this 29th verse. Because this doesn't seem to quite fit our picture of rest. He says what? He says, take my yoke. Now, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Take my yoke? I thought you talked about rest. A yoke is for work. The Bible commanded work and rest in the same week, in the same chapter of the first chapter of the book. They're both there. Work and rest. But if you can give up that guilt thing and pick up that purposeful thing. See, lay down that slavery to sin, but pick up the service to the Savior. It's a completely different yoke. Look how he puts it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, I have something for you. This is not that you're going to go off and have a siesta for the rest of your life if you become a Christian. No, not at all. But it means that which he calls you to will match who you are. That which he calls you to will fit is the picture. It's an appropriate yoke. Friends, he says, take my yoke and what? Learn of me. If you're going to take his yoke and learn from him, that requires submission, doesn't it? See, rest is learned in submission to Christ. See, when I submit to him and say, I won't do what you haven't asked me to do. Somebody said this to me one time. It's been helpful. It wasn't exactly pleasant, but it was helpful. It says, God will not thank you for doing what he didn't ask you to do. You know, we're doing this and this and this and this. That's not what I wanted you to do. I need to walk in step with him. Rest is learned in submission. It's a response to Christ and to your circumstances. You see, I think a lot of people think that there are circumstances in which you cannot rest. No. If Christ is with you, then you can rest in any circumstance. You can rest in him. See, don't confuse this thing of saying, oh, but you don't understand how much focus it requires me on the job. Yes, I do. When you sit down and talk sometime, I can tell you about the nasty job list that God has given me and blessed me with in my life. And some of the things you just look at and you go, how do you rest in that? And yet God is always there. You can't pray on your knees all the time, but you can pray with your eyes wide open on the job. You can lean on him. But here's the deal. Your beliefs are directing your behavior. Isn't that the truth? That's what we want to believe, right? Is your beliefs are directing your behavior. So if I'm not resting, if I'm not restful, if I'm not at peace, what am I believing that's disturbing my peace? So he says what? Take my yoke. And then he says what? Learn of me. Now, if he just said, take the yoke, it would look like, okay, there's a one-time thing. But when he says, learn of me, what's that? That learn, that's that same word we have for disciple. He says, would you become my disciple? Would you let me disciple you? Jesus wants you to become his apprentice. He wants you to learn from him. He wants you to take that yoke up. Oxen would be linked together, and usually one oxen was stronger than the other. And the yoke would be set up so that the lead ox would carry most of the burden. But they were there pulling together. God wants you to work together with him. Some of you are in a small group, and it's taking everything you can to do what he's calling you to do. Some of you are in a workplace situation. It's taking everything you can. And yet, understand, you're yoked with him. He's with you. Do you understand? That's the picture of being yoked. You're together. That's where you want to be. He says what? Abide in me. Now, some of you got yoked into some situations that you wished you weren't in. You got some health situations you would have never signed up for. Some of you look back and Mr. Right is Mr. Always Right, and you're really having a difficult time with that relationship that you're in. You're saying, I wanted to be yoked to this person, but now this is dragging me down. Christ is right there with you in any and every situation that you're in. He says, take and learn. What's that saying? It's a choice. Whether or not you enter rest is a choice, friends. Listen. I'm not sure exactly during my sabbatical when the deeper understanding of rest took place. I was so physically tired when I left here. I had no idea that you could take 3 naps in a day and still sleep at night. But that's where I'd found myself. Because I'd pushed myself way beyond where I should have ever pushed myself. I was doing things to my body that my body could not absorb. But it was for Jesus. Or so I thought. Friends, Rest is more than stopping doing something. It's doing what you're doing differently. It's who you're looking to. Rest is releasing control of the outcomes to God. That was a biggie for me. I'm still growing in that area. I'm still learning in that one. Because you want a certain thing to happen. So you work and you discipline and you seek to guide and influence. You know what that word is. Control! We want to see a certain thing come out. And if you're trying to control your world, I'm here to tell you, you're tired. You just may not know how tired you are. But if you're trying to influence your world, you can rest in that. You can be what you're supposed to be and be done at the end of the day. But if it's supposed to be controlled, it's not going right, then you're never done. Rest, I found, has to occur internally before it's ever experienced well externally. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can go to bed at night, but that does not mean you rest, does it? No, it doesn't. Friends, what does he say? Come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Learn from me. Prayer is a priority if rest is going to become a reality. There has to be that conversation with the one who's given out the assignments so you know you're picking up what he's given you to do and you're laying down what he's telling you to lay down. He can change your work assignment at any time. We see that even in the Bible. In the midst of great revival, Philip gets called off to a little road down somewhere off towards Gaza. It's a desert road. God may pull you aside sometimes to places you don't even intend to be or like, but rest in Him. If you believe, you'll find rest for your souls. He says, you will find rest. We're going to look at this some more in the weeks ahead. But God is pleased when you rest in Christ. Isn't that an excuse to be lazy? I'm going to talk about what does it mean to work for God next week when we talk about what are you striving for. Because work is what most of you are dealing with 40 to 60, hopefully not 80 hours a week. That's consuming your life. But there's a way to work in rest. But just know this. Rest is God's will for you. Rest is Christ's promise to you. But it's your choice whether or not you receive what He's offering. It determines who you look to. If you look to yourself, you're going to get tired. If you look to the Savior, He'll give you all you need. Rest comes through a relationship with Christ, not rules about your performance. Let's pray. Father, I got so much to learn. I just want to come say, make me teachable. Lord, I look out across this audience and I see pain on faces. I see exhausted hearts. I see people very tired in relationship. People just grieved by some of the stuff that they've been through and no hope. Father, right now I'm asking, would you meet us right here with the hope of rest for our souls? As many as received Him. Thank you for that promise, Father, that there is a rest for us. And I ask you just with open hearts to receive your rest this morning. The people would gather in the understanding of what it means to rest in Christ. I pray that we as a church would discover what does it mean to be yoked to you, to learn from you as your disciples, and yet to rest in the work through faith. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're yet to do, where we haven't even seen it. Thank you for the breakthrough that you're going to bring, even as we begin to embrace this idea that rest is a person, not a place. Help us to understand that with all our heart. Amen.